I don't know if you looked at the back of the bulletin where sometimes the title of the evening sermon is given, and if you did, maybe you wondered what this sermon was going to be about, just because I am. That's an interesting phrase, and it's one that is heard, but sometimes more seen than heard, quite a bit. There is an attitude expressed in those words. The attitude probably comes as much from the word because than anything else. Maybe you noticed a similarity between that phrase and the title of a well-known song that we sing quite a bit, Just As I Am. That's what I'd like to do tonight. I'd like to draw a contrast in our minds between that phrase, just because I am, and the song, Just As I Am. Now, there is an attitude behind those words there. And I think that attitude is seen in the lives of several Bible characters that we read about in the Old and New Testament. An attitude that says, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to be what I want to be. I'm going to do this because, well, just because. You ever hear that growing up? You ever hear that answer to a question? Did you ever give that answer to a question to a child? I have many times. I got that answer. I learned it, you know. Where did I get it from? I learned it from mom and daddy. Why do we have to go? Because. But why? Just because. And then, you know, if I pursued the question one more time, the response would probably be some mild form of violence, like, you know, an open hand upside the back of my head. And I can tell you right now, I'm a better fella for it. And those who do not receive that kind of discipline from their parents, with ample warning, of course, well, I think a lot of problems in our society today could be explained just from that fact. But we're not here tonight to talk about how you should discipline your children. We're here tonight to talk about the attitude that is expressed many times in that word because. Just because. Just because I am. Why are you doing that? Just because I am. Why are you going there? Just because I am. In other words, I'm doing it to please me, and I am not going to give you an explanation other than the fact that I'm going to do it. Okay? Okay. Well, as you might immediately conclude, that kind of an attitude will not get us very far with the Lord. It's not necessary for us to even look at Bible examples of those who had that attitude. We can tell from just clear logic that that's not a good attitude to have. But let's add to that good, clear thinking logic that we all are blessed with, and let's look at a few Bible characters who expressed that very attitude, just because I am. It's just how I am, the rich young ruler would tell you. You remember the fellow we call the rich young ruler. His story is recorded in both Matthew chapter 19 and also Mark chapter 10. He was the fellow who was young and who was very wealthy and who was of the ruling class, and therefore we refer to him as the rich young ruler. And you remember he came to Jesus asking Jesus what he needed to do in order to have eternal life. Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, I've already done that. Jesus looked into his heart, the Bible says, and Jesus delivered to him the conclusion. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. And the young man went away grieved at that saying, for he had great possessions. Now he didn't say, oh, that's too much. I'm not going to give up those things in order to follow you. But that's what his actions meant. He basically said with his actions, I am going to be whatever I am going to be. It's just how I am. And so if you can't take me with all of these riches in my life that I prefer to hold on to, then I'll go my way. Somebody says, boy, you're being hard on that fellow. Maybe. But in reality, I'm not being any harder on him than the Lord was. Because the Lord laid before him a choice based on the ultimatum. You can either serve the Lord or you can either serve earthly possessions. It's a choice that has to be made, and the young man chose to walk down the road that has that big sign over it that says, it's just how I am. Have you ever heard anybody say that in trying to justify something about themselves, about their lives, maybe a habit, or I've heard people use that probably more often on the subject of patience and short temper. You know, it's just how I am. I'm just an impatient person. I've had a quick temper all my life. Well, we need to talk about the matter of self-control and the fact that God requires certain things of us. Oh, it's just how I am. That's the approach of the rich young ruler. We also see this kind of an attitude exhibited by a fellow in the Old Testament, King Ahab. King Ahab took the approach that he didn't have to explain anything. He didn't have to worry about anything. He didn't have to please God. He didn't have to respond in a positive way to God's instructions. Because after all, he was the king. And his idea was, I'm the king, I deserve to have and to do whatever it is I want. One of the saddest stories in the Old Testament is the story of Naboth, the man who owned the vineyard that King Ahab really wanted very badly. Naboth refused to sell Ahab his vineyard, you remember, because to do so would be a violation of God's law. It was inherited property, and God said, you shall not sell the property that is distributed to you and passed down through your families. And so Naboth refused to sell it to him, and the Bible depicts Ahab as going home and getting on the bed and turning his face to the wall and pouting. Now, the Bible doesn't use the word pouting, but it basically leaves us with that picture. And Queen Jezebel, who contributed as much as anything to Ahab's wickedness, came in and she said, oh, honey, you poor thing, what's wrong? And Ahab basically said, I want Naboth's vineyard and he won't sell it to me. I'm not stretching this any, I'm just putting it in modern terminology. And Jezebel said, now don't you worry about anything. I'll fix this. And she arranged to have Naboth murdered. And Ahab was able to get the vineyard. Now, that's one of the saddest stories in the Old Testament, but it's a story right straight out of reality. And we see Ahab's attitude, and Jezebel's too for that matter, in that whole thing. They didn't have to do anything according to the rules of righteousness. They didn't have to explain themselves. They had no interest in pleasing anyone but themselves. And very much like people today who take that same kind of approach, they were interested in only serving themselves and only pleasing themselves. And so, just because I am. For our third case in point, I'd like to go to a group of fellows. The Pharisees. The Pharisees, basically, you remember the story of the Pharisees in the New Testament. They're only found in the New Testament. They're not told of in the Old Testament. They were a class of the Jewish people, a religious class of people. They first appear on the scene in Matthew chapter 3, where John was baptizing, and the Bible says that John saw the Pharisees and Sadducees among those who had come to his baptism or his baptizing. And listen to what John said to them in Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." The Pharisees basically were content with living the way they wanted to live. And remember, when Jesus spoke some of the most scathing words of condemnation that are recorded during his earthly ministry, the subject matter was the Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees, Jesus said, "You hypocrites." The hypocrisy thing is seen right here in Matthew chapter 3 in the words of John, where he said, "Bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance." In other words, start living like you're claiming. The same message that Malachi had given to God's people. The same message that all of the Old Testament prophets had delivered. Live right. Don't just claim to do right. And the hypocrisy of the Pharisees placed them on the receiving end of condemnation almost every time they're referred to in the Bible. The only time that we see a Pharisee represented in somewhat less than a bad light is over in the closing chapters of the book of Acts, as Paul admits to having been a Pharisee himself. It's the last time the word's used in the New Testament, Acts chapter, I believe it's chapter 26. So the Pharisees had this attitude that they were going to be the way they wanted to be, and if that wasn't okay with you, we need to get rid of you. Wasn't that their approach toward Jesus? Just because I am. Well, let's turn and look at the other side of this thing. Just as I am. I want to insist that that's far more in keeping with the attitude that God wants out of each of us. The song that we sing, "Just as I am," is probably the most widely used and easily recognized, quote-unquote, invitation hymn that has ever been written. It was written in the early 1800s, and I'll tell you a little bit more in just a few minutes about the lady who wrote it and the circumstances under which she wrote it. But I want us to pay attention to the words of this song for just a few minutes. And I've got six key terms that I think illustrate what each verse of this song stands for. First of all, verse 1 speaks of destitution. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. What does that mean? Without one plea, without anything that I can claim, without anything that is worthy of putting me in a position to be able to be saved. Nothing of my own personal doing, nothing of my own being puts me in a position where God should save me based on my performance, my goodness, without one plea. The only thing I've got going for me, the song says, is that the blood of Jesus was shed for me, and I didn't have anything to do with that. I didn't cause it. I didn't devise it. I didn't bring it about. And that's all I can lay claim to, but that thy blood was shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee. I have the blood of Jesus shed for me, and I have an invitation from the Lord to come. Other than that, I'm absolutely destitute. Verse 2 speaks to the matter of urgency. Urgency. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. This sense of urgency is the sense that every person needs to have. And the difference between obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ and living faithfully, and on the other side, refusing to obey God and living selfishly, is the absence of the urgency. We may sometimes find ourselves in dire situations in life, and we may feel an urgent need to do something that is within our power to change that thing. I don't know of any better way to describe the need in the life of every person who's never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ than the fact that it is a matter of utmost urgency. Nothing should prevent us from taking advantage of the cleansing of each spot that can come through the blood of Jesus. Verse 3 speaks of being conflicted. And that's exactly what life is without Jesus Christ. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fears within and foes without, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. The opposite of conflict is peace. And we are assured in Scripture by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. It cannot be obtained apart from Jesus. There is no peace to those who are outside of Christ. Rather, the words of this verse describe a person's life who is outside of Christ, tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt. And then verse 4 turns and begins to look at what is necessary in order to come. Verse 4 is about being focused. Verse 4 is a little bit hard to understand. Maybe you've never really understood exactly what verse 4 is saying. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find. O Lamb of God, I come. I believe what the writer is saying is that poor, wretched, and blind, I'm longing for sight and riches. And those things bring healing to the mind in the sense of bringing earthly satisfaction and contentment. But the reality is everything I need is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in sight, not in riches, not in contentment in the mind, so to speak, but in Jesus Christ. And then verse 5 speaks of the trust. Trusting, just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. In order to come to God, you've got to trust Him. You've got to believe, first of all, that your condition apart from Him is just as He says it is. Hopeless. You've also got to believe that He and the Lord Jesus Christ are our only hope. If you trust that to be true, then nothing will stand in your way and keep you from obeying the gospel. And so, it all comes down to a matter of trust, doesn't it? At least it starts with trust. We cannot move in the direction of that which we do not trust. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. And then verse 6. Verse 6 speaks of the exclusive service that is ours. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now, to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. I don't belong to anybody else. I am the Lord's, and that's the only thing that will preserve me. Quite a difference between this and the attitude that says, just because I am. Now, let's make sure we don't misunderstand. When the song says, just as I am, and we talk about coming to God and that God will accept us just as we are, we're not talking about salvation apart from obedience. The obedience is the matter of coming. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. But the just as I am part does, to a certain extent, speak of the grace of God. And the fact that God does not require us to reach a certain level of development, or that God does not require us to put up a certain amount of money, or that God does not require us to have to have had a certain number of good deeds on our record before we can apply for salvation. No, salvation is offered to us on the basis of obedience, no matter what we have done, no matter where we have been, no matter what we're guilty of, as long as we're willing to turn away from it and come to Him. This song, Just As I Am, was written by Charlotte Elliott. I believe she was a member of the Anglican Church, Church of England. She lived from 1789 to 1871. I want to read to you the story of, or at least a part of her life, as it is written in the book, Then Sings My Soul, written by Robert J. Morgan. And I offer all of that explanation because I was also able to find a little different version of the circumstances of her writing this song in another, I would say, less trustworthy source. But this is interesting. She was an embittered woman, Charlotte Elliott of Brighton, England. Her health was broken and her disability had hardened her. If God loved me, she muttered, He would not have treated me this way. Hoping to help her, a Swiss minister, Dr. Caesar Milan, visited the Elliots on May 9, 1822. Over dinner, Charlotte lost her temper and railed against God and family in a violent outburst, and her embarrassed family left the room. Dr. Milan was left alone with her. You're tired of yourself, aren't you? He asked her. You're holding on to your hate and anger because you have nothing else in the world to cling to. Consequently, you have become sour, bitter, and resentful. What is your cure? Asked Charlotte. Dr. Milan said, The faith that you are trying to despise. As they talked, Charlotte softened. If I wanted to become a Christian and share the peace and joy you possess, what would I do? Dr. Milan said, You would give yourself to God just as you are now, with your fightings and fears, hates and loves, pride and shame. She said, I would come to God just as I am. Is that right? He said, Yes. Years later, her brother, Henry Elliott, was raising funds for a school for the children of poor clergymen. Charlotte wrote a poem, and it was printed and sold across England. And the leaflet for it said, Sold for the benefit of St. Margaret's Hall, Brighton, he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Underneath that caption was Charlotte's poem, Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Charlotte went on to live 85 years, or 82 years, and she wrote 150 hymns, though she never enjoyed good health. But after her death, as her family sifted through her papers, they found over 1,000 letters that she had received from people who expressed their gratitude for the way that that hymn that she had written had touched their lives. We'll close with the words of another song that Charlotte Elliott wrote. One that we don't sing here, but that we probably need to learn. And I'll invite you to just listen to the words. my God, my Father, though I stray. My God, my Father, though I stray far from home on life's rough way, oh, teach me from my heart to say, Thy will be done. Though dark my path and sad my lot, let me be still and murmur not, or breathe the prayer divinely taught, Thy will be done. Renew my will from day to day, blend it with Thine, and take away all that now makes it hard to say, Thy will be done. Then, when on earth I breathe no more, the prayer oft mixed with tears before, I'll sing upon a happier shore, Thy will be done. It is God's will that every single one of us come to Him in obedience and obtain that salvation that was purchased by the blood of Jesus. Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? If not, why would you wait any longer? Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, to be buried with Him in baptism, rising to walk in newness of life. If you've already done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, why not come back? If you need to respond to the Master's invitation, we invite you to do so as we now stand together and sing.